Okay.
Welcome to the Permaculture Pimp Cast with your host, the Permaculture Pimp Daddy and the Pasture Raised Pimp. Get your recommended daily allowance of permaculture, preparedness, and practical living. Dip a pimp. Stay alert, stay alive. Permaculture is my passion. Oh yeah. Welcome to episode 136 of the Permaculture Pimp Cast, the only pimp cast on planet Earth where we discuss permaculture, preparedness, and practical living. How you doing, son?
Pretty good. I'm trying to get this figured out right now. This is the first time we went live on this podcast.
First time ever, and it's going to be the way it goes from here on out, y'all. So thank you for checking us out. Make sure you hit that thumbs up on the way in. It tells everybody out there that we've gone live. So we might be pigs on roller skates this first time out because it's something of a beta test. But remember, for those that don't know, PIMP stands for Permaculture is my passion. Yeah, so nobody be offended out there. Thanks, everybody, coming in. In fact, this show is going to be all about the Q&As that we catch right here in this, in this app. So we're going to have a conversation with y'all tonight.
You got to explain that a little bit better. If you guys are watching it live, leave a comment in the live chat, and we'll get to it during the main topic, right?
Yeah, what he said.
Yeah.
Yeah. As always,
leave instructions.
Well, let's just get right into it. As always, y'all, this episode brought to you by Hickory Ridge Soap. From twooldcrowshomestead.com.
Turn that simp into a pimp.
Bam! Also, Heaven's Harvest, y'all. 10% off with promo code PERMA. P-E-R-M-A. Make sure you handle all your needs over there when it comes to your, when it comes to all those things where you're needing to get prepared. And you don't need me to tell you what's going on in the world right now to find out how you can do all those things. And if you would like to tip a pimp, you can go listen to us on the Fountain app. That's for all you people that are checking us out in the podcast space, where you can actually pay us if you so desire in a form of Bitcoin called Satoshis, whatever, but they call them sats, SATs. So if you'd like to drop some SATs on some PIMPs, go over there, check us out on the Fountain app. You can even triple up the speed like I do. That's how I get through so much information in a lot of these days. So, yeah, we're going to jump right into it, y'all. Like I said, this is something of a beta test. Oh, Texas boys done showed up. What's up, pimps?
Well, hold on, Dad. That's supposed to be the main topic.
Yeah, we're going to
jump the gun.
Well, for all the people that are coming in right now, make sure you hit that thumbs up. I'm going to actually be hanging out with the Texas boys this weekend. Really, really looking forward to that. Go check out their pimp cast. I'm sorry.
Yeah, there's only one pimp cast.
I'm calling everything that these days.
Yeah.
Check out their YouTube channel. Also, they got a ballin' podcast. It's the doggone it. I can never remember.
Fearless.
The Fearless podcast. Even though I listen to it, it's right there on my phone. You ought to check it out, y'all. So we're going to jump right into it. Okay, farm news. Well, I'm out there right now, literally moments before we went live right now. I'm down there. Quite honestly, so far we got 7 gallons of honey.
Yeah, and here's the evidence. There's wax on his shirt right now.
Yeah.
You can see it actually in the camera screen.
Yeah, I was actually working on that. I guess that's it right there. Yep. So, down here we got the supers off, took all the honey, got it out. And, so it looks like before it's all said and done, probably 12 gallons. I know people usually refer to it in pounds. But we got to talk about it in a way that everybody kind of understands. So almost 2 5-gallon buckets filled up, and we got a bunch more frames to do. On another note, want to give y'all an update on the grounding. I know a lot of people have been reaching out wondering how I'm doing that. Basically, every time I do my Bible study in the morning, I go out there, I sit in a rocking chair with my bare feet on the soil. I'm doing that for a while. And then, I spend time, like it says in Psalm 1, he meditates day and night in the law of the Lord. So after I'm done with that, I do a little bit of meditation and stay grounded. So anyway, we got grounded stuff on the bed. So I'm grounded while I sleep. And every single night so far, I was going back and forth with Eric Sider today. And I'm telling you what, it's the best sleep I've ever had in my life. Notwithstanding last night, because we went out to eat with Josh and Megan to some Brazilian place in town. And I don't usually eat that much, but I came out of retirement yesterday at one of them Brazilian places, ate an entire ecosystem down in my belly.
Dang.
I got up at 3 o'clock in the morning, run into the bathroom, and it wasn't food poisoning or anything like that because I've had it twice. It would usually go out the other way, but that wasn't the case. Just digestive system isn't ready for that kind of assault. I haven't done that sort of thing in years. Although the Texas boys would have loved this place because it was all meat.
Well, I mean, and you can't even tell, like, if it was food poisoning, you have no idea which one it was.
Well, no, usually if it's for me, I've had it twice, and both times it was years ago, and it was both times it was at McDonald's. And yeah, it messed me up, and I was messed up for a long, long time. All right, so yeah, we went there, and anyway, the grounding has been doing astonishing things. We got grounding sheets on the bed, or a grounding mat, and it plugs into the wall. Actually, as an electrician, I basically redevised this thing to where it works even better. And I'm telling y'all, that grounding is for real. I thought that this whole earthing and grounding thing was just something the hippies do. No, y'all, it's for real. And I've been sleeping like $1 million. Like I said, notwithstanding last night, for me to sleep all the way through the night is unbelievable. Don't get up to go to the bathroom. Don't do any of that stuff, especially when I've been eating a bunch of junk that I know that I shouldn't be eating. So anyway, grounding is so far 5-6 days into this thing, it is off the hook. So yeah, hey, y'all, we'll get to all your, if you got any questions, make sure you leave them there. We'll cover them in the main topic today. Also, other things we got going on, got a couple, I mean, every time winter rolls around, when you got old vehicles, that's when you find out where all your problems are. So we had another one lock up, brakes locked up on William.
Yeah,
in town.
Yeah, in town at a stop sign in a busy, like the only busy intersection in town.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's what time that was. So anyway,
hold on, a little social experiment. You know how many women got mad at me? Okay, it was only the women that got mad at me. But whenever I was stopped at that stop sign, because it's around a curve, so you can't exactly like pull out into traffic safely without getting into the left lane, but people turning into that lane don't know you're there. So I was telling, I would get out of the car and I would go up to their window and say, hey, I'm broke down here, but it's going to be better if you pull into the O'Reilly's parking lot and then use that entrance into this road because this, it's not safe. Like 4 out of the 5 women like got an attitude and were like, I'm from here, I know how to get around, and continue to go into the left lane and like cause issues.
Ladies, y'all take it out on him.
The guys, they parked into the O'Reilly
on this podcast, and
it's not sexist, it's just a fact. The guys took it as a challenge that the brakes were locked up and went and parked in the O'Reilly's parking lot and tried to push, and nobody was successful.
Yeah, the calipers locked up on it. So yeah, that's one more thing. And then got another vehicle going on. So it's just one thing after another. But hey, this is a day the Lord hath made. I will rejoice and be glad in it despite all this nonsense going on. But it's just how it goes. And also, that's another thing with this meditation, man. I'm not tripping like I used to. And I know what some people are going to think. It's not the kind of the transcendental kind of stuff. It's not any of that. It's literally just, you know, I got to have that little time where I'm in my own brain for a minute and I can meditate on where I want to go and to make sure I don't focus on the negative. It's really helpful stuff. So despite all this stuff going on where it would really have me, you know, going up a flagpole and aggravated, I'm really something, man, forgive my use of it, y'all, but I'm becoming something of a stoic in the real sense of it. So hang loose, y'all. Here before too long in the next podcast or two, we're going to announce some pretty big changes here. Things that a lot of folks don't know that are going to happen, but they're not bad. It's just some big changes that we're going to, you know, have going on here. So speaking of big changes, y'all.
Well, dang, Dad, you made it sound like something horrible. You said it's not bad. No, it's good changes.
Well, that goes right back to people fundamentally, when they hear change, they viscerally think it's a bad thing. And I've gotten to the point in my life where I'm starting to really, really embrace change. I mean, just think right now, you're going into fall. What do you see? You see changing leaves. And then if you have food forests and orchards and stuff like that, okay, during that dormant season, they're putting down roots. They're putting down all these things in the soil that are going to make them explode when spring comes around. So maybe look at it like that. You got different seasons. Historically, you got different seasons, and you can call it the fourth turning. If you don't know about it, I guarantee the Texas boys know about it, but we're in, you know, every 80 years you have a Sakwim and, things change. You have basically 4 seasons and we're in that 4th season right now, as you can tell by a lot of the dumb stuff that's going on in the world,
Hey, and if you guys are just tuning in, we're going to get to the comments and the questions during the main topic. So, Miss Betsy Lou, we can see you. But if you have any questions, we'll be free to open them or ask them in the main topic.
Yeah, make sure you hit that thumbs up on the way in and tell everybody we're out here live. So this is typically the podcast or Pimpcast. Yeah, this is typically the Pimpcast that it goes out primarily. We've never done it live before. I've been wanting to do it live for the longest time or even have a call-in show. Maybe that's something that can happen in the future. But right now, we have to do everything live. All of our videos we have to do with minimal editing because we actually do the work out here. So we can't spend hours and hours and hours doing all these other editing. We got to treat this like back when I was doing live radio. So that's exactly why it is the way it is.
You want to hit the button?
No, not yet. I want to give a shout out to the guy, and we're going to get to that. The Psalms devotional that got sent in the mail. I'm glad you reached out to me in email because there was no way I knew who it came from. We'll cover that. I did want to tell you a profound thanks. Now, speaking of big changes, I want to talk about just briefly what's going on in the world. Everybody knows what's happening, and because we are live, I'm going to have to self-censor, which absolutely aggravates me. So everybody knows what's going on in the Middle East. I'm not going to stay on it. Everybody that listens to this podcast, you know, every time I say I'm not going to spend a lot of time on it, I always do. I'm going to make an exception this time. I've told you in previous podcasts how this thing was shaken out and how I don't believe anything that's officially told to me. But I do want to say that if this thing does expand, and let's say Iran gets into it, well, think about what that's going to do to your gas prices. Think about what those are going to do to your cost of food and cost of everything else. So if this thing does get wider, and by every estimation, it looks like it probably will, you want to make sure, you know, we don't have what Shakespeare called the winter of our discontent, if you know what I mean. So get prepared. This is why we have the tagline on this show, stay alert, stay alive, because things are really ramping up. They're getting real. And it has every, like I said, if this, I know you're going to hear a lot of stuff from the prostitutes on the mainstream media. And I know they got their opinions and stuff, and I've spoken out against a number of them out there. There's no shortage of them out there saying, let's war. And I'm not going to go into any great detail on that. All I'm saying before we move on, because I'm going to pull myself away against from what I want to do, which is political commentary. It's really not what this podcast is supposed to be about. So I'm just going to say, look, there is a reason why we reached out to people like Heaven's Harvest. There's a reason why we reached out to people like EMP Shield. We saw this coming, and we saw it coming from a long time ago. And that's why you should seriously, I know we're getting into the holiday season, but good night, man. One of the best gifts you could probably give somebody is some storable food or some beans and rice or something you can. I mean, it may make all the difference in the world. You got people, one of them was on the other day with Man in America, my friend Seth Holhouse. And good night, man. He's one of the best trends forecasters out there. This dude is talking, get 2 years worth of food put back.
Man.
And okay.
I just suggest 6 months.
That's a good start. But I mean, he's talking about 2 years. And I'm like, all right, well, got you covered there, bro. But most people are not. And Martin Armstrong, that's who I'm talking about. Armstrong Economics. I mean, this dude's been calling it with incredible precision from day one. So that's what I'm trying to get at here, because if anybody's ever watched the YouTube channel, you know that we're primarily a how-to channel. And lately, more and more, I've been leaning into the preparedness space because this podcast really is about permaculture, preparedness, and practical living. So we would be doing a great disservice to everybody out there if we didn't cover that element of it, even though it's the most unsexy part of this whole lifestyle. But speaking of which, if anybody's wanting to go get prepared, this weekend, Mountain Readiness Festival, I'm going to be there. Texas boys are going to be there. And a number of others are going to be there. And it looks like this thing is going to be off the meat wagon. And like I said, Mountain Readiness, you want to go check that out. It's going to be October 20th through the 22nd. I'm going to try to get out there tomorrow evening, but for sure, I'm going to be teaching classes on Saturday and Sunday. And it's going to be on homestead knot tying. And a lot of the stuff, you know, my background is a mountaineer and my background is a U.S. Army sapper. I'm going to try to condense all this stuff down into a 1 hour class. I've taught it before, but it was almost entirely in preparedness circles, never in a homestead circle. So I love the fact that just like the other festival that's coming up, like that, the one at Kentucky Sustainable Living, that's going to be October 28th and 29th. That's next weekend. I love how both festivals have one leg in the preparedness world and the other leg in the homesteading world. And I've been saying for the longest time, man, I'm really, really loving the fact that so many of people are not just focusing on strictly homesteading or strictly preparedness. I'm glad that these things are starting to overlay. And I think it's a wonderful idea, especially in these times. And you know what's really cool about both of them? Both of them, this one coming up this weekend, Mountain Readiness, which is in my neck of the woods, or about 2 hours away, which might as well be in my neck of the woods. Both of them are going to be doing fundraisers for children that are trafficked. And the one at Mountain Readiness is going to be for Caleb House, if I'm not mistaken. Bear Independence is going to be there. And then the one next week is going to be for Vets for Child Rescue, which the powers that shouldn't be are doing everything humanly possible to put those guys under the carpet, to make them insignificant. So they're doing fundraisers there, and I've already bought two tickets myself. And I'm encouraging everybody. I know times are tough, no doubt about that. But if you can be part of either one, man, you really ought to get out there, because it's a party with a purpose. And that's exactly what we ought to be doing these days.
Chris Sawyer just did an interview with the Hagman Report. Interview with the Hagman Report. You guys could check that out if you want to know more about him personally.
So before we get into it, y'all, we got Pastor Lon coming up. If you don't know, he's always our spiritual advisor right here on the Pimp Cast, and we're going to go straight to him next.
Hello, everyone. This is Pastor Lon. I got one verse of scripture for you today. It's in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. It says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." I think automatically our mind goes to a physical rest, and that's true. We can come unto Jesus and abide in his word and abide in prayer with him and spend some alone time with him, and he'll help you deal with the hustle and bustle of life and the trials and tribulations and temptations. So I believe that's true, that we can look at this from a physical standpoint, because he is that kind of God. But I also believe that in Matthew's day, when this scripture was actually written, there was so much religious stuff going on back in the day that it was hard for people to understand about the Messiah because of all the man-made doctrines and religious beliefs back in that day. Well, it's no different today the way I see it. There's so many different doctrines and religions in the world, man-made laws and rules and regulations. But see, Jesus tells us just to come unto him. If we're tired and weary of all the religious rituals in the world today that don't bring any peace of mind to your mind, body, soul, or spirit, but Jesus Christ offers salvation, and that's where it's at. He tells us in his word to take upon his yoke and learn upon him. I mean, his yoke is easy and his burden is light. It's more simple than you think. Just to be believing it in your heart and accepting Jesus Christ in your heart and confessing it with your mouth that he is Lord. So men today make it so hard for people to serve the Lord because of their man-made rules. But I would encourage you today to remind yourself that religious men hung Jesus Christ on the cross. So we should not want anything to do with religion today. We should want everything to do with salvation.
Amen to all that. Yeah, I couldn't help but overlook the chat at the same time. Yes, it stands for permaculture is my passion. So you got to stick around to know what that stands for. And yeah, it's an ugly word, but we turned it into an acronym to make it a better word. Also to appeal to the people out there that look a little like me, that don't necessarily, and if I can drag them into this, turning what would ordinarily be a disgusting word into something that is palatable to them, that's precisely the point.
And if you disagree, you're racist.
Bam! No, he's joking, of course. Hey, I want to thanks Tim and everybody else out there, and Chaga, thanks for putting that out there. So thank you so much. And remember, if you haven't already, hit that thumbs up. And you can also listen to us. This is primarily a podcast, so I'm expecting 9 times out of 10 people to do this, to listen to this. Basically, when you're out in the yard doing your work and stuff like that, or you're on the job or whatever the case may be, just wanted to do this live. I want to give it inspired. I want to give a hat tip also to Jack Spirico, who gave me the idea to do this live. I mean, I've done talk radio for a long, long time, real talk radio, and before I got into the podcast space. So never did it where anybody was looking back at me. So that's a little bit strange, a little disquieting, but I'm an old hand at this, but we'll get it worked out. All right. So for those that don't know, if you're new to the show, we used to have a segment called Bad News, Good News. And for every one bad news, I'll give you 2 good news, but now we've changed it completely. It's now all good news. At least if
there's a spin on it.
Yeah, it's always a spin on it. But before we get into that,
tip a pip.
Check us out on that fountain app, y'all. Okay, so I got to be a little bit careful because normally when I do this, I'm not concerned about any YouTube kicking me off or anything like that, because in the podcast space, you still have some measure of free speech. So, yeah, but this first one right off, man, I'm going to have to I didn't think about this live thing. This is where I didn't get a notification, y'all. We decided to go live at the last minute. I mean, it wasn't that long ago.
I put a post saying we're going live in 15 minutes, and there was actually 14 minutes and like 30 seconds left.
Yeah. So, yeah, but I think everything's going off without a hitch. Well, like I said, I'm going to have to speak phonetically to a certain point, to a certain degree. This one here says childhood mortality is actually dropped during the lockdowns when many children couldn't get routine jabs.
Oh,
yeah. So it actually went down considerably during that time when a lot of people couldn't get their kids in. See a correlation? I'll leave that up to you. All right. So that's good news. I'm going to call that good news because maybe people will see that. Okay. New York lawmakers. Now, I'm going to say this is good news, but it's also bad news. If you know anything about my libertarian background, New York lawmakers proposed new bills to mitigate the negative impact of social media on minors. So what they're saying... Now, I find this curious because I remember one of my nieces came here and she was glued to this tablet right here the entire time when she was doing her schoolwork in one tablet and then her play tablet on another. And I'm like, okay.
No. She was acting like she was doing her schoolwork on one tablet and playing on the one behind it. That's what was going on.
Well, they're saying the Surgeon General of the United States basically says youth who spend more than 3 hours a day on social media are twice as likely to experience depression and anxiety. So what does that tell each one of us? I mean, obviously, these kids live in an alpha or a theta state most of their lives when they're young, and then which is an imaginary state. You know, that's why they can pretend to be whatever they want. But during that time, these formidable times, instead of filling their brains with something, you ever watch little kids and they stand in front of the TV and they just kind of zone out, they zombie out?
Yeah.
It's because they're in an alpha state and probably lower states than that. I mean, less conscious. So they're easy to program. And so, but I find it curious that the same exact state who's saying, oh, we need to pull these away from the kids are the same ones putting them in the public school system. You think that might be a problem?
Yeah.
I think it is. So anyway, that's, I'm calling that good news because at least people are going to start to wake up and hopefully we all wake up even more and just pull your kids completely out of these indoctrination systems. So third good news of the day. Okay, now this is going to go without, I mean, this is going to be like, duh, for anybody that listens to this podcast. No-till farming improves soil health and mitigates climate change. Okay, as you read this article, it's basically telling you, and of course they bury this in some of the mainstream papers. So basically what they're telling you, well, it's buried right there in the headlines. It tells you right there. So what they get down to saying is that, okay, when you don't till, oh, guess what? You have less soil loss. Huh, what a concept.
Yeah.
When you run animals out there and you do it properly, I was just talking to Neethi Bali today about, you know, what she's got going on out there in her part of North Carolina. Gee, when you have good management, guess what? Soil stays in place. Good William talked last week about the folks he just did a consultation for. In fact, the kid where we have this segment right here.
Tip a pip.
That's their little boy, and I love it. Yeah. Anyway. They're out there. William showed or talked about it. If you haven't seen it, go check out the previous podcast or the one before that, where he was talking about how he went out there, did a soil, got their soil, looked at it under a microscope, and it turns out the very best soil, I mean, it's only confirming what we already know, the very best soil is the soil that had good animal management on it.
Yep. And it's also, to be fair, though, it's also the one that they spent the most time on. So they've managed animals there longer than... they've had that garden area.
Right. But it was a great comparison, you know, compare where a garden is to where they're running animals.
Mm-hmm.
And they tell you, everybody's saying, oh, we got to get rid of these animals. I heard an interview with Arnold Schwarzenegger talking about how animals are messing up the planet. Well, yeah, the way that they run them, probably. But when you're doing it right, and it just kills me, these articles, like you're telling the whole world what we already know. Everybody in this podcast already knows. But thank you for catching up finally.
If we get rid of all the animals, where is he going to get his growth hormone from?
Yeah, no kidding. But that's exactly it, y'all. Just good management. That's what we teach here. That's what we try to profess, not only in this podcast, but that's we do the how-to on YouTube. And then you know, basically all the things I can't say on YouTube somehow get said right here in this Pimpcast. All right, y'all. With that said, we're going to go straight into my man, Eric Sider.
Hey, Eric Sider here with your Pimpcast tip of the day. Today's tip, maintenance. This is one of the most critical and often overlooked aspects of a property or project that will determine long-term success. People often ask what the ideal property size is for a homestead or permaculture project. Of course, it depends, but a good starting point is whatever you can sustainably manage. Just to feed yourself, you're looking at around 2,000 square feet per person. So a family of four could easily feed itself on a quarter acre. And maintaining a one-acre property could be a full-time job for one person. So a 60-acre property without a proper maintenance plan will put you in the poorhouse or an early grave. This is important to keep in mind when buying property. Pasture will quickly turn into scrubby forest without mowing or grazing. Now, there are pros and cons to each, and a combination of the two can also be beneficial. Equipment can be expensive, and animals require fencing and management. So you really need to be honest with yourself. How much time do you have? What is your budget? And what is your experience level? These are probably the three most common questions I ask during a consultation to determine what system or strategy makes sense. You can find me on YouTube and Instagram at Eric Sider. And if you're in need of permaculture t-shirts or remote permaculture consultation and design, head over to ericsider.com.
That's my dog right there, y'all. He's got the ball in his permaculture t-shirts, and I wear them about 85 to 90% of the time.
Yeah, you're getting beeswax all over the carpet, Dan.
Yeah, well, you know, at the same time, I mean, honestly, there are no better t-shirts out there. Go check out his YouTube channel, Eric, E-R-I-C, Sider, S-E-I-D-E-R. My man's got the best. If you need the ball in the shirts out there, like people are saying, well, wear your shirts. I'm like, I wear Eric's shirts because he makes the best.
He has a new one out too. It's productive over producer over consumer.
We bought every shirt greater than consumer. Yeah, we bought every single shirt he has so far. And so folks, I highly recommend it. Plus, I mean, that's a guy that's, you talk about altruism. He does a whole lot of good in this world that, you know, and he's one of those unsung heroes that everybody should know about.
But also the shirts that they use for whatever company he's using is pretty good. Like we wear the crap out of these shirts and wash them over and over and over again. Yeah. And they've lasted.
Yeah. There's times I'm going to, I mean, in the summer, 2-3 shirts in a day sometimes.
Yeah.
And these things do take a beating, but I'm going to try to less to cook my shirts. All right. Before we get into the main topic, which means your questions out there, I want you to know EMP Shield, $50 off with promo code PERMA, P-E-R-M-A. Remember, as a journeyman electrician, I'm a journeyman electrician before I got into this. And even when I was into this for about 25 years experience, y'all, I reached out to EMP Shield because they make the very best. And remember, your number one threat out there is not necessarily an EMP. It's going to be a lightning strike. And if you had the kind of lightning, you know, activity we've had this year, well, it's a pretty good backup. And if it gets past anything, guess what? They cover you for 25 G's. So go check out EMP Shield. It helps this program. All right. So we're going to jump straight into, son, I guess you're going to manage.
I got it on the phone right here.
Oh, okay. So we're going
to
go.
You can scroll over here if you want to.
No, I'll let you do all that. And folks, like I said, well, this is our beta test. This is our maiden voyage doing this Pimpcast. Yep. Live. So
It's not too late to send in your questions. So if you still have a question and you were saving it, go ahead and send it in. First statement I've got is from Chaga, and he says, from your content, Eric Sider, Jack Spirico, Joel Salatin, and more you pimps were my entry into permaculture. I'm packing 10 pounds of fun into a 5-pound bag on 4.5 acres in southern PA. Bam. Bless you all. Man, I feel bad for you in those roads.
Yeah.
Pennsylvania roads are horrible.
Yeah, but you're doing wonderful things up there, and that's so awesome to hear. Yeah. Just go right back to what Eric said a minute ago. I mean, then the last time I drove through Pennsylvania was about a month ago, and I'll tell you what you find out. No matter what trip you take along the United States, remember what Eric said, it takes about 2,000 square feet? How much vacant land do you see all alongside those interstates? And ask yourself this nonsense that they're telling everybody. We can't grow enough food. We can't do all this. If we were just grazing animals like Joel Salatin writes in his books, just alongside the interstate, you could feed the world 10 times over and improve the soil and never, ever have to mow ever again. There doesn't have to be a hungry person on this planet.
Yeah. Got one from Don Smith. Question, William, how can we bless you and your wife with the new baby? Honestly, like praying for us is the best best thing you could possibly do. I mean, there's going to be some big changes, exciting changes in the future. So, I mean, honestly, if you just keep us in your prayers, that's awesome.
Yeah, we're not in need of anything, y'all. I mean, nowhere, anywhere about. I mean, just prayers. When people say that, you know, it always blew my mind. Well, praying is the only thing I can do. I got news for you. It's the most you can do. It really is. I mean, if you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, as I do.
If you're praying to Jesus, please pray for us. That's what I mean. Got one from Double A. Been making grass and fall leaf compost over the last few years. Seems good, but I want to ask the experts your take on it. Good or need more? I use it to amend the garden. Thoughts? So if it's only grass and leaves, I mean, it's going to take you longer doing it that route, and you probably want a way more diverse recipe. The more diversity you like include into your compost recipe, the more like bang for your buck you're going to get.
Yeah, it's those microorganisms that are on the outside of whatever you put in there. And that's why you want a diversity like of your carbon. Like one of the piles we got going out there right now, just in terms of carbon, it's got wood chips. It's got actually two different types of wood chips. It's got straw that hasn't been strayed. It's some corn straw, wheat straw rather. And it's got some paper. You know, it's got paper that's shredded up and it's in there too. That's really, really good for your fungus. And then it's got leaves also, and a variety of leaves at that. So you're going to make better compost the more diversity you can throw into it.
One of the benefits of putting that like sheep stomach in the compost was that you're also getting a partially decomposed whatever they ate, which is an insane diversity that you're probably not going to harvest yourself.
Well, let me expand that a little bit. We just did a pile and we put basically the parts of the sheep that we didn't put in the freezer. For those that don't know, because nobody knows out there yet. Unless you're on Patreon, I think.
No, they heard about it on the last podcast, didn't they?
Possibly, but we probably got a lot of new people tuning in right now. We basically took a sheep, all the parts and pieces, the offal and stuff we're not going to eat, put it in that pile, and it's so incredibly awesome the way this is turning out because we needed a little more nitrogen in there, and that's a really good way to do it, blood and stuff like that, but you better be watching it because that stuff's going to heat up pretty doggone quick when you got, and you may have to balance it a little bit more with that carbon. But real quick, because it's so important right now, where everybody's wondering where they're going to get their this, their that. Right now, make your compost. And we've done a lot of it. I'm not trying to sell Patreon, but that's where we did step-by-step how to make some of the ball in this compost. I'm talking this stuff. Technically, I'm not allowed to use the term yet, but it is pretty doggone. It's well above the standards of being biocomplete.
There's a soil ecosystem in effect. You can call it that.
Yeah, it's what you're not going to find. We've tested all that soil you get in bags, and none of that stuff comes even close. I mean, it's all junk for the most part.
Got one from Lynn Jasmine. Grounding outside is the same as going barefoot, correct?
Yes.
Count me in. Planted chestnut hybrids today. Two of them.
Awesome.
Yeah,
that's what I'm talking about. Going barefoot is absolutely great. There's some debate on how much time it takes, but I'm thinking, how do I kick it up when I'm sleeping? So that's why, there's this thing. It was expensive. It was very expensive, but I bought it, and I'm like, let me give this thing a shot, and it worked. I didn't tell Michelle anything about it, and she suffers with back problems every single day. I didn't tell her what to expect. I didn't say anything. Just put it down, and then 3 days in a row, she didn't have it. Now, this is 4 days in a row. She has had no back problems. And that's from grounding. And I'm coming up with a DIY way. Been working it out with Eric Sider. Coming out with a DIY way that's probably going to be a lot less expensive.
Got one from Miss Betsy Lou. Are they responding to us at all? Yes, we are. It was in the main topic, but you left too early. got one from Chaga. Question for the pimps. I'm planning to plant gooseberry, currants, and hostaberries into the shrub layer of my swales. Have you used any of these and have any cultivar recommendations?
Well, it depends where you at. I mean, that.
I don't know. But yeah, we have used gooseberries and currants. As far as the gooseberries, I think it was just whatever was available at Tractor Supply at the time.
Well,
right?
We were trying to fill holes, but be sure with those currants and gooseberries, you put them on the right side. Like gooseberries, you're not going to want them on the south side provided you're in the northern hemisphere. They're going to do much better on the south side. You don't want them in direct sunlight. So yeah, we
currants as well.
Currants, I mean, they'll pretty much do their own thing.
They don't like the sun. Currants, you don't want in the sun as well. But it also depends on where you are. Cause like if you're in Texas, you're going to need like a very adequate overstory before planting these. But if you're in
Well, you in Texas, I'd use something like scupperdongs or if you're wanting grapes or anything of that sort. But also be sure, don't go doing this on trees that are very immature. I like letting them run up my nitrogen fixers. Anything that's going to climb, you know, to add that eighth layer to the food forest, I like to put it on my nitrogen fixers because, A, they're robust, and, B, those are trees I can afford to lose. So if it's going up, but also be sure, do you really want it going up a honey locust that's got thorns on it and you're trying to go after those currants or whatever else? So be sure you got a tree that's a little more robust. Don't put it, because it will. I almost made a tragic mistake. I let some of these beans get, or it was cowpea. I let it get away from me, and it was going up. It was literally vining up one of the trees out here that's literally outside of here. It was a peach, and it was like dragging that sucker to the ground before I found it. You know, it straightened itself out, but you got to be really careful about those things.
Got one from SET team. Hello, Billy and William. Love y'all's work. Big Red One Army veteran wondering if there's any affordable land opportunities anymore, or as corporate types have bought it all up.
Yeah, that used to be my specialty years ago, and it still is to a certain extent, on how to buy land on the cheap and buy land that, in fact, we're going to be actually kind of talking about that in the future. Okay, I'll give you the cliff notes real quick, because it may actually help a lot of people out there, and you might want to pass this around. One of the methods we would do is literally you can go to Craigslist. And if you see, let's say, a 5-acre plot or 10-acre plot, whatever the case may be, you go out there and meet with them on that piece of land. And what I would normally find is that it would be a guy that got himself in a bind, he got a truck he can't afford, and all you got to do is find out what his problems are. So go out there, get to know him a little bit, and here's how it would go. And like I said, this is the Cliff Notes version. I go out there, find out what their needs are, and 9 times out of 10, you'll find out that they have a truck payment or a house payment that they can't afford. So all you need to do is solve their problem. So what I would do is go out there and say, okay, if it made sense, I would say, look, I'll pay you your full asking price, and I'll give you, let's say, $500 down, and I'll pay you $500 a month. I'm not going to pay any interest. We're going to broker this through an escrow account. And let's say if it was $500, I'd pay $15 a month to the escrow account. But who cares? I'm not amortizing a piece of land over 30 years or more, or 20 years. I'm actually paying it off. You can pay it off in under 5, then you own it. And then plus, those can be found in places like Craigslist, the Thrifty Nickel, or whatever local paper you have. I won't go into a whole lot of detail right now, but I've never, ever. Let me also say this part before I go on. I'm spending more time than I should right now, but I've done a podcast on it before, one of our earlier podcasts. I've never had a person pass me over when I gave them the pitch where I said, look, here's how it's going to go. I'll give you $500 down, pay you $500 a month, because I know that's what he's probably needing that $500 payment.
Insurance and car payment.
Yep. To get him squared away on his vehicle payment, which 9 times out of 10, if it's a guy bordering that has a lot of land, 9 times out of 10, it's a guy that's got himself into a payment that he can't afford. Like I said, all I got to do is solve his problem. So if he's got a truck payment, I could easily do this thing over a 5-year period or less. But I'm saying $500 down, $500 a month. But here's what makes them say yes, is whenever I go to them and say, look, okay, I'll do you one even better. If I miss 3 consecutive payments, not only do you take the land back, you take all the improvements on it, and then they'll jump at it. But they forget about that part where it says 3 consecutive payments. So let's say it was January, February, you missed, and then March you paid, and then April you didn't. Well, they're going to come with their hat and like, hey, raise up. This is my land again. Nope, it ain't. Look at that contract, Jack. Now, I'm not saying go out there and go. That's not at all what I'm saying. It's just 9 times out of 10, they're so excited that they don't realize it's your insurance in case you got laid off, whatever the case may be. So, yeah, that's it in a nutshell. There's way more to it, but it's still unbelievably simple. Tax liens, that's another way we would acquire land. But that's another, like I said, it's another program altogether.
Got one from Delta 3. Thank you guys for what you do. Really an inspiration. Any guilds you found pair best with fig trees?
Ones we typically do. Only difference
I would say no. I don't know if I would use a fig tree as like the main overstory in a guild.
Well, it may be the guild around that particular tree, around that fig.
Right.
Here's what you want to watch out for with a fig, is that it's going to grow. It's not going to be like a tree and when you got branches coming off the side. A fig is going to grow basically, let me try to do this. For those that aren't watching, like it's basically going to grow like a giant shrub. and it's going to shade out a bunch of stuff. So you want to be really, really careful about what you put in there and how close. Now, comfrey, I've had great success putting it in close proximity. I mean, as close as 2 feet, 3 feet sometimes.
Okay. So yeah, that works whenever you have the size figs that we have. But look at, remember John Bush's figs, and they get like 15 feet in diameter. That's what I'm thinking about, is that if you go John Willis.
Yeah.
If you go, like, if you plant your fig tree, I think it would be a temporary, depending on the type of fig it is, if it's going to grow like a tree or if it's going to grow like a bush or like a shrub, like you might be wasting your guild, because it might be a very temporary guild because that fig might take over. So, but there are fig trees that grow more like a tree, and then there are fig trees that grow more like a shrub.
Yeah, so. There's some of them. There's some tiny ones out there too. So, I mean, depending on where you live, you know, fig may not be the answer, but yeah, you can still work it out there. You're just going to have to play with it a little bit and then kind of know the nature of how that fig's going to grow in your environment. Right. If you get things too close, I mean, I wouldn't put a blueberry like right up on next to a fig, but putting comfrey around it, knock yourself out.
Yeah, and if it is the one that grows like a tree, then I would use just the standard like guild formula that we use on the YouTube channel, like on the Permapastures Farm YouTube channel. Got one from the Texas boys. I've tried gooseberries and currants in our zone 8A, and they didn't make it.
Yep. Yeah, they're not going to make it down there. So if you want to get something that tastes pretty close to a currant, I mean, it's going to be scupperdongs and what's that other one down there? Muscadines. They're going to do great. In fact, in your area, not far from there, the guy that saved the entire French wine industry, actually, I mean, he's dead now. I mean, he's long been dead. But there is some awesome history around there, and it's over in the Sherman area, actually near Denison, where the vineyard. Basically, France would not have a wine industry right now if it wasn't for this guy in Texas. I don't recall his name, but if you go to the college, they have like a demonstration site of what he did. And he basically said, okay, we'll take some of these wild suckers here, and we're going to work out the genetics in such a way, naturally, that's going to make this work over there in France. And you know what the worst part is? France put out like the clarion call. Like, can somebody help save our wine industry? The dude did it, and they still didn't pay him.
Yeah.
France. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, maybe that's why people are burning things down right now over there. Because they're like, okay, man, you told me you were going to pay me this. But yeah, this guy saved the entire – I wish I could remember his name right now. I actually went to that I went to that place when I was working in Texas years ago. And it's really, really neat. But, yeah, you might even look around there. A lot of really good grape varieties you can grow around there.
Got one from Priscilla Santana. If you do till your soil, use any tools on your soil. Use copper, not steel or iron. It strips the magnetism from the soil, while copper brings magnetism back into the soil.
Hmm. Copper's not magnetic, though. I never heard that before, I'll definitely. It sounds interesting, and it sounds.
Well, she also has another one. Have you ever tried or looked into electroculture?
Briefly.
Man, it almost seems like a cult.
What, electroculture? The
electroculture, yeah.
I haven't examined it, but it does. I wouldn't doubt that it had merit. I'll give you a prime example. People laughed about it at first. I wish I could remember. This is another where I got this knowledge up here. Can't even cite where it came from. Check this out. Okay. So most people don't know it, but the pyramids in Giza and the ones in Mexico and all over the places where they have three pyramids, most people think they're four-sided. No, they're not. If you go there on the equinox, you'll see that they're actually eight-sided. Well, anyway, there was a guy, a scientist, that went out there and with these little sticks made something of a pyramid around different vegetables out there. Let's say it was a tomato plant, and he took these sticks. I mean, it wasn't sticks. Let's say these metal cages, and he made one where it was just a regular pyramid. And that was his control, or no, his control didn't have anything. And then he had one with a regular pyramid, and then one where he made like something of an eight-side pyramid, because each side of the pyramids at Giza are slightly indented to the inside, so it makes it actually eight sides. He replicated that over three different tomato plants, let's say. I don't recall exactly what it was. And believe it or not, the one that had the eight-sided pyramid on it, it was like Nephilim were creating these tomatoes. And
like Monsanto actually worked.
Yeah. And I was like, okay, so there's a whole physics, I think, out there that we don't understand. I mean, you know, like I said, they know the origins of life, right? Science openly admits they know the origins of life. But they don't have a clue how these pyramids were built. So which one is easier to explain? So they got those things built somehow, and this guy replicated some of that stuff. I wish I could. Another guy named Ed Lee Skolnick, Coral Castle down there in Florida. I can go real deep on this stuff, but honestly, there's a whole, as far as electroculture and the stuff like it, it wouldn't shock me one bit if there wasn't a whole constellation of things like that. I just haven't examined it myself.
We got a response to Pastor Lon in his little segment there. This is from Double A. My spirit just cried out and agreed with the spirit that when Jesus said, take up his yoke, he meant to take him with you everywhere and in everything you do.
Bam. I like that.
Yeah.
Also, there was something else he said there, man. It brought me back to when I was a kid. I'll just briefly comment on this, where I remember I hated going to church for this one reason. We didn't have a whole lot of money growing up. We were busted. I mean, no hope, no soap, end of the rope kind of broke. And I hated going to church because there was this social suck-up session based on how you were dressed. And I hated it. And so I had always, when I was old enough to know the difference, I intentionally would not dress up for church. And I always thought, you know, how would anybody feel well? I mean, whose tradition is this? And it's really, I mean, let's be honest here, man. This is something that they do at black churches. And let's be honest here, in a lot of black churches in the South, man, it looks like a pimp of the year convention if you just stand outside there. I don't even know where you get the color fabric for some of this stuff. But I remember going to a few black churches with my brother when I was in the Army and how they were looking down on me because I wasn't dressed. First of all, I was home on leave as a soldier. I got jeans, okay? That's all I had at the time. And I remember these, like Pastor Lama was saying, these tradition of men that appalled me. And I've always kicked back from that from year on. So I didn't mean to go sideways on that, but I just wanted to weigh in on it.
Got another one from Chaga. Question: just met Beth and Sean at HOA, and they have never considered using Siberian pea shrub as fodder for chicken/animal feed. I understand it's high in protein. Have you used this or considered it?
Yeah, we got some down there right now. Siberian pea shrub.
We've never used it for the animal fodder though.
No, we've never used it for that.
The nitrogen fixer in the gill.
Yeah, that's what we've used it for. I've never tried it that way, but I know a guy. Nutwood Farm is the name of the place, and it's up in Massachusetts. And I remember they had a lot of it going up there, if I remember correctly. It's been years that I visited that farm. I'm talking like 2017, probably 2016, somewhere around that area. And they were using a lot of it up there, and I think they were using it for animal fodder. I've never done it myself, although I have no doubt that you could. I mean, you know, there's so many things that we use that
if you see chickens drop, stop.
Well, hopefully it didn't come to that, but I don't know if I'd feed it to, I don't know, maybe sheep would want to mess with it. Maybe cows, I'm not sure.
I would see if it would be a good one as like for rabbits or something.
Well, and then some people are worried that some of these are going to get away from them, but you could look at it like Greg Judy does, where the problem is the solution, like autumn olive. A lot of people complain about that. Well, sheep love it. So you don't have an autumn olive problem. You got a lack of sheep problem.
Got one from Laura Larson. Why do y'all plant daffodils under your fruit trees?
Yeah, great question. Well, a couple of reasons. Number one, they're pretty when they come up in the spring. So it's the first piece of color coming out, and it just looks awesome. So that's really cool. That's the part of permaculture that I'm really not good at. But the biggest reason is that it's an added deer and vole repellent. So we put two rings around it. So let's say, okay, so I can't use visual references because most people are going to listen to this in an audio format. So let's say we put one ring of daffodils, let's say within a foot of the base of that tree. Then we put an outer ring out there. Well, I can't remember the name of the compound that daffodils produce, but I was for a while there using it in the bone sauce that we sell. Actually, we're sold out right now, but I was using it when I had access to it, because deer and voles, rabbits find it repulsive. In fact, somebody wrote in one of the, in our latest video, like, or one of our recent videos, like, hey, how come the rabbits aren't eating up all your strawberries out there? Well, we got bone sauce on everything. And then we got daffodils everywhere too. Even though it's in the ground, the voles are like, I don't know if I like this. Even though the bone sauce is adequate, well, the daffodils are to handle the things under the surface. And I think to a certain extent, it probably works on rabbits as well, but I know that it works on deer. It's not the place. They got daffodils popping up everywhere in a time of year where everything else is going to be coming alive. They're going to probably not favor that area as a place to browse.
Got one from Goosenberger. What causes the side of a maple tree to turn black? Well,
I do not know.
There could be a whole bunch of reasons, but I think, couldn't it possibly be like a puncture in the skin or in the bark, and then some of the sap is leaking out?
I really don't know.
But if it's a disease, it's a soil issue. You don't have the proper soil life on the tree to protect it from fungal issues like that. But I mean, your guesses could be good as mine on that.
Well, I'll tell you what, Sam, we'll take one more question here, y'all. Then we're going to go to Chef Snow. If you're new to the program, that's a segment that's really, really awesome. And he tells you a lot of awesome things you can do. And then we'll come back to the Q&A, but we'll also throw in some of the stuff that we get online, because we do get a lot of emails, folks. I may not always be able to respond, but please know that I read everyone. And then if you leave me a long response, please don't expect one in return, because I get so many emails, I can't possibly spend 10 minutes on each email. I really can't. So yeah, I read it, acknowledge it, and if I can respond, I do. If not, then I'll hit it on the podcast.
Well, it looks like we have some trolls enter the chat. Got another one from last one from Rusty Daw. Question, William, did you ever give the results on the knife sharpener or the sharpening test? Yeah, I believe so. The Pro Edge. No. I can't remember the Apex knife sharpening system is what it's called. And yeah, it works pretty well. I mean, all the knives are sharp, despite what Dad likes to say. Well, the knives are always sharp.
Well, I'm
until
about to
Dad
to
or
work.
Mom use it.
I'm about to put some to work here before long, because I'm going to be helping Darren at Hacks for the Homesteader at Kentucky. I'm going to be Darren's assistant at Kentucky Sustainable Living when we process a pig up there. So I'll be dulling some of those knives up there.
Now, I will say the Apex sharpening system is the only sharpening system I've used that works on longer knives comfortably. Like, it doesn't matter if it's I've used it on the machete before. I've used it on the cleaver. I use it on the long scimitar knives that Dad uses whenever he's doing pigs and stuff. So, yeah, I mean, it works pretty well.
One more question here. It says, because I get this one a lot, does bone sauce work on squirrels? I don't know. I can't say with any specificity. Had my friend JD, actually, he's the one Milk Boy's named after anyway. He's a sheriff up in Nebraska. And he asked, he said, does it work on squirrels? I'm like, man, I've had some people say they would. I sent some out for testing. They never got back with me. One person said it worked great. A lot of the wiring and stuff on these new vehicles have some component or made out of some kind of component.
Yeah, it's made out of soy, I think.
Yeah, so squirrels are getting up in there. Rats are probably doing a number on it. Well, I don't know. I can't say for sure. I really don't know. Some people are saying yes, and other people I haven't heard back from. I haven't heard anybody say no, but I can't tell you that. My suspicion is that it probably doesn't, but it might. I mean, I don't know. In fact, I got to ask JD if it's working out for him.
Yeah.
No, I really do not know. All right, y'all, we're going to come back to your questions in a minute, but we're going to lean on over to my man, Chef Snow, Keith Snow.
Hey, Chef Keith Snow with Harvest Eating with your PimpCast tip of the day, which is prioritizing protein. I'm a dude in my mid-50s. Now, most of my friends, my male friends, have gone soft, sick, and timid, willing to do anything anybody tells them to do. And I think a lot of this is because of a lack of exercise and a diet filled with processed foods, fast food, alcohol, and a crap load of cheap carbs. I find the best plan is to prioritize protein. I aim for 1 gram of protein for each pound of body weight. It's not easy to do, but that's my goal. And I start each day with plenty of protein. I usually have at least 1 protein shake at lunch and plenty of protein for dinner. I also walk after each meal for at least 10 to 15 minutes. That's a way to control blood sugar and improve your metabolic health. And I have plenty of protein with each meal, at least 30 grams. And then the other thing I do is lift weights, and I ride my mountain bike at least 30 miles a week. This keeps me in shape, sharp, and assertive. Heading into tough times, you want to make sure that your health is a top priority. Guys, stop watching sports. Put foot to butt and get in shape and prioritize protein. Basically, stay manly. If you want to learn more about these things, do check out my website, harvesteating.com. I've got a great podcast over there and lots of tasty products in the Harvest Eating store. Take care. We'll see you the next time.
Go check out Chef Snow, y'all. His podcast is great. You'll love it.
Chef Snow out here flexing on you simps.
Yeah, Chef Snow, that's what I'm talking about. Well, you know, clearly, he must be hanging out in Nashville.
Man, he must have got tired of these people.
I think he is in Nashville this weekend. If we're going to be gone. Yeah. Man. So, yeah. What did you say about your mom before?
She could beat up 85% of the women and 95% of the men. The statistic changes depending on the season.
Lay off that soy, boys. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, lay off that soy. That's basically what he's saying. You know, there's a recent program. I think it was Ed Milet had a doctor on there talking about the, you know, how everybody's missing the boat if you're not fooling around with protein. Believe me.
Yeah.
I got six freezers full of protein and I ate a bunch of it last night, but I'm about to start hitting that iron myself.
I told Emily after she gives birth. When she's all healed up and recovered and stuff like that, she's lifting weights. Because, I mean, some of those issues that, like, not eating enough protein and not having enough muscle mass, like, some of the side effects are side effects that are kind of common in her family. So, I mean, yeah, we're going to have to do some changes
to our diets. I mean, all the way around. I mean, it's easy, you know, especially with these hard times, you know. This is why I'm talking about a lot of life hacks right now, where I was talking about tactical fasting. How I could go 3 days and still be just fine doing all the chores. You may need to do that sort of thing. That's why I did it. This thing with the grounding. I'm looking for inexpensive ways to, believe me, I came up with, I had to make bone saw strong because if I wanted an orchard out here, it was the only way to make it happen. But if there was some natural means, if daffodils alone were to solve the problem, I would have never even fooled around with it.
I wonder if the tactical fasting results will be different in winter. You should do it when it's cold out.
Yeah, I might have to do that very same thing.
Because you're going
to
be burning more calories just trying to stay warm.
Yeah, but it's like Chef Snow was talking about. That's another one of those hacks. Stay on top of the protein. You know, I was hard as woodpecker lips, and then I was like, okay, let me acquiesce for a little bit so I have a basis of comparison. Now I'm going to try a new chapter. But that's why exactly why I'm saying, look, y'all, there's a lot of free stuff like grounding. It's simple, and the powers that shouldn't be don't want you to know about it. If you're aggravated, upset, go out there, put on the headphones, listen to the audio Bible if you have to, put your feet on the ground, get in the sunlight, you're getting the vitamin D, you're getting all these things. I'm trying to talk about things that don't cost you a dime that can really, really help in the times that are about to befall us. I mean, let's be honest here, y'all. We live in very shaky ground, and you'll be a lot less stressed if you do some of this stuff. So thanks once again. Check out Chef Snow's website. He's got a ballin' website, and also his podcast. Really good man out there. All right, so we're going to get back to your questions there in the chat, but I'm also going to handle some of the ones in the email. This one here is from Anna. If it's okay with you, I'd like you to read on the next podcast regarding a grounding blanket. I hope you do a video on this thing in the next week or so. I got material on the way, and I'm going to try it. I talked with Eric Sider about, you know, my plans for this. I'm going to try to come up with a DIY because, honestly, the ones that are online can be as expensive as $300. Now, if you ask me, it's worth every dime because I'm sleeping like a baby. I honestly do not remember ever sleeping this good. And the only thing that's changed, and like I said, Michelle, no back issues. And for me, it's been something of a, I'm a person that does not require, or I didn't think I required much sleep. And I'm sleeping, y'all. I got to wake myself up and I am rested. And the only thing I've changed, this is like 5-6 days in a row now, only thing I've changed is the grounding mat. But I'm going to try to find a more affordable way of doing this. I even was thinking about reaching out to them to maybe do this thing as a promotion. I don't know. I'm going to see what they'll be willing to do.
Yeah, that'll be cool. Got one from Johnny12868 on the Fountain app. Quote from Billy, "The powers that shouldn't be, the last thing they want to see is somebody like me." Well, you're a poet and didn't know it. You can rhyme every time, brother.
Bam. I like the way that guy rolls. Yeah. So, it came from Alec, by the way, that devotional. I'm not sure I can get to all this, but basically the devotional for the Psalms. I've just cracked it a little bit. And I'm glad you reached out. It was Alex that sent me this, for those that are just getting in right now. He sent me this devotional of of Psalms. And, you know, I'm making it my goal to memorize all of the Psalms, you know, not just the main ones. all the way through. And yeah, that's one of my goals too, to know every, to bury that word in my heart. And plus, it honestly, in those times where I'm frustrated, aggravated, man, it's a pretty good time. Or when you feel like you're being spiritually oppressed, just say Psalm 91. You know what I'm saying? He did, you know, I've done it before many times on the program, but you get the point. And then Psalm 1, man, it just brings me peace. And then Psalm 2 is honestly something I've been spending a lot of time in right now. I'm spending a little time talking about this because, like, it talks about the kings of the earth. You know, why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? And then it goes on to explain, if you listen to it, you can kind of see the overlay. If you look at the powers that shouldn't be going on in the earth right now and the strings they're pulling to try to get us to be at each other's throats. And sadly, it seems to be working overall. But back to his comment here, I'm going to kind of give you the cliff notes. He says they had a comment from a listener who claimed that contests have been removed from the Old Testament and that the Talmud is the original. Well, I'm with you on that. I bitterly am opposed to the Talmud and rabbinic Judaism. And I'm not going to get into all that right now, but there's a lot of stuff in that Talmud that ain't cool.
Right.
We're not going to go into any detail right now, son, because they'll kick us
off. No. I was going to say that, like, we're going to get this thing shut down quick if we go into that.
Yeah, that's the quickest way to get this thing shut down. And he's also saying something about how the pyramids align perfectly with Orion's belt. Can you point me to any documentation on this? Well, not right now. I can't. And a lot of that might actually be coming from, like, Ancient Aliens and a number of other podcasts and stuff. I don't know that I've ever read that anywhere, but I'm just echoing what I've heard before. So in total disclosure, no. I mean, that's what I've been told before. So anyway, thank you so much for reaching out, and definitely thank you for that devotional.
Got one from Eric Sider on the Fountain app. As sad and infuriating as the current events are, for me, they just reinforce the only solution to solve our problems, the prime directive of permaculture. The only ethical decision is to take responsibility for your own existence and that of our children. We can't change a system we depend on, and the best thing we can do for the world is to make government irrelevant.
That's my dog right there, y'all. That's why, I mean, he's one of the smartest permaculture designers out there, y'all.
Yeah.
And he's straight up. I mean, I totally agree. Now think about this. Let's put it in another light. I did that video the other day at the Earthship complex. Now imagine you got the Earthship over there, it produces its own power, heating and air, cooling, you name it. It does it all in that structure. But what if you were to surround that Earthship and that entire community out there with a bunch of food forests, things like that? Well, it makes it the powers that shouldn't be. If you can grow your own food, it is one of the most revolutionary things you can do. That's why I'm begging everybody to go out there and get involved.
Hold on. I got to take a second and just realize, you see how many connections are being made in this chat right now?
I'm not watching the chat at all.
I am. There's, like, Sandra and Rachel are going to meet for coffee. Carrick, cool. He's getting in contact with people. Dang.
That's exactly what it ought to do. I mean, this is this inaugural live debut, man. This is working out better than I would have hoped.
That's cool.
Exactly what we do. We basically get ourselves out of this system. Eric says it all right there. The prime directive of permaculture. Take care of yourself and your family. Start there. Then look at the people around you. Look at your other family. Look at the neighborhoods. If we just had, I was kind of doing the math on it, and I thought one chicken tractor, I was counting the houses in that place. If you had a bigger version of a chicken tractor on steroids, it would handle all the compost. And I'm talking in that Earthship community I was just at with the tiny homes, just based on the numbers I currently saw there. All you would need is one chicken tractor on steroids, and there's not a person in that community that would ever have to buy eggs or compost ever again. Just a couple of them. And that's just really not that much work for a community that size. You would never have to worry about where your eggs are coming from. That's a start. This is exactly what I was talking to Sean and Beth Doherty about the other day in that podcast, is let's just start with our kitchens. And let's say everybody in this listening in the sound of my voice right now, let's say everybody were to pick an item in the kitchen. Okay, you work on, let's see here, Carrick, you're going to work on laundry detergent. Rachel, you're going to work on dish rags. Pick every item in the kitchen and then have everybody, and then let's work within that community where not only are we working within the prime directive, but we're also being the support mechanism for each other. Eric, I remember when I did my PDC, Eric had this little experiment where I think he handed like a counterfeit bill all the way around the room. Well, you find out in the end it's counterfeit, but who cares? It was the velocity of money that made the transactions happen, that put bread on everybody's table. So, yeah, start at home. Man, we could do podcasts entirely on this topic. Hi, Billy. I've eaten some holly. I've taken some holly azaleas and some various stone fruit cuttings that appear to be establishing very well with the method we talked about. He says, my question is, how would you go about protecting these for zone 6B in an Ohio winter? Putting them in the cold frame, low tunnel, burying the pots. Yeah, cold frame, low tunnel. That'd be my way to go about it. Or you may not even be necessary.
The hollies die, though. That is not a plant I ever want to deal with again. Let the hollies die.
Yeah.
Unless you're using it as like a protection area, like a barrier or something like that.
That's a good way to use them there. And, you know, you may have a good, you know, there may be a good reason why you have them there. But also consider, yeah, you could go inside, but honestly, I don't really. You're going to do better going to the nurseries around you for that kind of information in 6B, where we are, because we're also 6B, and even zone 5, depending on our altitude on this property. We don't do anything. We just leave them right there, but you may have nuances up there in Ohio that you might be worried about.
You're probably getting considerably more snow, too.
Yeah.
Yeah,
because with all of our microclimates in these mountains, it's impossible to say what zone you're in. It really is, because it literally is a zone different from one holler to the next. That's how things work in the mountain. Also, he says, you ever catch Milk Boy eating comfrey? I don't know.
Yes, I have. He loves comfrey tea. When that was brewing in the he loves comfrey tea. Chloe and Nala, they both eat comfrey. Nala more than Chloe. But Milk Boy, all the dogs love that comfrey tea. If you let it soak in a bucket just for a little bit, it'll be the nastiest smelling thing you've ever smelled, but they love
this stuff like it's going out of style. That's a fact. But I've never seen them just straight up eat comfrey and drag it out.
Well, and also if I have like comfrey salve on my hands or arms or something like that, Chloe licks it. So there's that. Got one from Nitro Soil. Hashtag tip a pimp, hashtag mind antivirus, hashtag learn how to think like a Freeman. Always bringing great content. Listen to the 5-hour interview of Gatto, the ultimate history lesson on your interview with the Texas boys. Highly recommended to all. Public indoctrination is worse than a prison. Don't let your children be infected by the mind killer. We already homeschooled, but this gave us a ton to think about also. Learn that trivia.
Man, you just made my day with that comment there, y'all. If you haven't checked it out, please. And it takes a while to get through it. And you might even want to ramp up the speed a little bit. John Taylor Gatto, the ultimate history lesson with John Taylor Gatto. It is a must listen. It should be must listen to everybody in the United States of Amnesia, because you're going to find out so much. The man was wicked smart when he was alive. And I will do it no justice by trying to offer a synopsis. You want to check that out. It's necessary education, if you ask me. Before we get back to your comments in the chat, I got one more on my end. Hey, Billy, came across this article and I thought it would pique your interest, especially with your latest compost production methods. And basically what it is in this article, Zoo Brew Poo Fertilizer sold to help gardeners grow in Ohio. Okay, I've kind of touched on this a little bit before, and people were asking, well, what if, you know, we had animals at the zoo that we can get this stuff from? Look, I'll be honest with you. I would not recommend it for a couple of reasons. Well, if you read the article, they say that they basically let the stuff cure for about 2 years. Okay. Well, do you have any idea how many dewormers and all those things that they shoot up these animals with, put in their food, because they're in captivity? They're not in a holistic environment. So every time, I mean, yeah, it might be a good, you know, it might be good to have monkey poop in your compost.
Maybe not monkey poop,
but you get the point. I mean, let's say it's rhinos or elephants. Under ordinary circumstances, it would probably be great, but they probably hit them up with so many drugs. I would avoid putting that in my compost or using it, because there's so many things that they're shooting these guys up with, maybe even mRNA stuff. I don't even know anymore.
You know how cool it would be to make a compost pile out of elephant poop?
Yeah, well,
that would be awesome.
We got a whole Washington, D.C. full of elephant and rhino poop right now. So I don't know the adding anymore. Ordinarily, if they weren't jabbed with all kinds of dewormer, because that's going to do the polar opposite. Remember, when you do a compost pile, you don't want to mess up the taxonomy and the tropospheres of each level in your soil. So you got the beneficial fungi and bacteria. We start there. Then you got a bunch of things that eat fungi and bacteria. And then one of your highest predators in there is going to be your worms. Well, you just got rid of your highest predators. It's like having a bunch of deer out there and then making all of your top predators go extinct. Believe it or not, everything a worm eats, everything a worm touches is made incredibly awesome. But if you don't have the worms out there because you got all that dewormer.
Think of Midas. When it comes to earthworms and composting worms and stuff like that, think of Midas.
Everything they touch turns to gold. That's a fact. Everything on the inside and outside that a worm touches. But you just eliminated the possibility of that when you're using stuff. I mean, if you give it enough time, maybe 2 years is adequate. I don't know for sure. I would tend to avoid it because I don't want to wait 2 years. And besides, your compost starts going downhill after 6 months.
All right.
You just leave it in a pile.
Hey, so from the last episode on the YouTube channel, we have two prevailing questions that keep getting asked over and over again. The first one is more on the fossil fuel and how it's abiotic. Like, where can they find information? And this is going to be similarly formatted, and you'll know why when I ask the second one. But where can they find information on the fossil fuel being abiotic?
Yeah, just search Colonel Fletcher Prouty, Prouty. Just put in Colonel Fletcher Prouty. This is one of the easiest ways. I mean, there's tons of other sources out there. But the one that I know that you'll be able to find, and you'll find video of it. And he was one of the smartest dudes ever. In fact, Mr. X in the movie JFK was modeled on him. So anyway, Colonel Fletcher Prouty, and put in peak oil. Colonel Fletcher Prouty. It's like a very short video. It could be, I don't know, maybe 8 minutes long. And he talks about how oil was made, how everybody was made to believe that oil was a diminishing thing. And calling it fossil fuel was the whole reason Kissinger and the other polecats like him chose to use that term, was to make everybody believe that it was a diminishing return. And it's not. And the Nazis knew it. They called it abiotic oil. And people know that, you know, you drill a hole, pump it dry, well, come back a few years later and it's filled back up again. So that's one of the tactics that the powers that shouldn't be. And plus, if you stop to think about it, you're going to tell me the combustion engine is the best thing we've come up with over 100 years? You're telling me there ain't technology sitting on the shelf? I'm saying that as a rhetorical question.
Nerf guns got better.
Yeah.
In a shorter period of time.
You're not even telling me. I mean, they are purposely keeping us on this plantation when we know that they have, I mean, good night, man. There's technology out there, and it's been sitting on shelves. They either buy up the patent or murder the people, like that one guy that ran a car on water. In fact, everybody that's ever come up with these technologies. In fact, Dr. Stephen Greer's latest documentary is actually quite good on, and it's about that very topic, on every single person that's come up with some groundbreaking technology. They either buy up the patents or they murder these people.
Yeah. And the second question that's most common in this one was this. I'll just read this one. The Life Midwife. I want to know what was added to the churches 150 years ago. I researched and didn't find anything significant.
No, you're not going to find it in those books. That's something, man, I got a real look. Usually in this podcast, I say anything I feel like, but there's two topics that I've been kind of cautious about. And the reason why is that if you touch on if you touch on certain doctrine, people will dismiss you immediately without asking any critical questions about it. I'm trying to find a way. Like I said,
can you give them the topic without telling them opinion on either side?
Look up the Plymouth Brethren and look up who actually funded Cyrus Schofield. Actually look out and Dr. Charles Spurgeon. Look at his opinion on those people at that time. And that might lead you into the information you're looking for as far as what was introduced to America about 150 years ago. And at exactly the same time, the trivium, which is grammar, logic, and rhetoric. We talked about it in the last podcast. Exactly. These things happened at the same time. And partially, I think part of the motive is to get Christians to acquiesce, to think that I'm not going to be here for any of this. So why am I even going to try? And if I had a nickel for all the Christians I personally know who don't stand up for anything because they think, well, I guess I'm giving it away right now. But I don't want to give it away. I mean, you know, you should have to search out a matter. And I'm trying to think about how I can package this in such a way, because where people come down on whatever rapture doctrine you choose, they will break fellowship over it when it could just be a difference of opinion or a difference of how you see it. That should not be a reason you break fellowship over that. And it's not that I'm afraid to talk about it. I'm just trying to find a genteel way of really yanking a rug out from a lot of people. And like I said, these two were introduced at exactly the same time.
I think the last question we have on the in the chat area.
Not the chat. Is that the chat?
Yeah, I'm looking through the Dad, I'm telling you, there's connections being made on this chat. That's what most of the chat is right now.
Hey, if anybody gets married, y'all, give me let me know. I like to show up to the wedding.
Got one from Earthling Drew though. Are y'all familiar with the EM1 microscope? It's a great portable microscope. Just started looking at my compost. Need to study more before I know what I'm looking at though.
I heard of this. I want to check it out. Man, what kind of synchronicity is this? It was just this last week. Somebody else mentioned that before. I didn't know anything about it, and I still don't. But because you're the second person to bring it up to me, I'm like, okay.
So
the third one hits me up, man. That's like, you got to go check this out. So I'm
those portable microscopes are cool. The issue, though, is to see the organisms that we're looking at. The organisms that we're looking at are the same color as water. And whenever you're using your, you're making a dilution out of your soil. So you have to dilute it with water and then take that like a drop of it and put it on your microscope slide and stuff. But the, you know, like I said, the issue is that the organisms are the same color. So you need a compound shattering microscope in order to see exactly what we're looking for. Now you can see some of the other things. Like if you can go up to like 400x magnification, then you can see fungal hyphae. You can see maybe some nematodes. You could see some maybe amoeba, testate amoeba, and maybe some.
You've definitely seen nematodes if you can go up to just 40.
I'm talking about without the shadowing aspect. You might be able to see nematodes. You might be able to see some microarthropods. So that would be good, but you won't be able to see some of the smaller things like flagellates, ciliates. You don't. Actinobacteria, you won't really get a good barometer of where you are.
And the good thing, I'm glad you pointed that out, because honestly, some of the most consequential things, spirochetes, you're not probably going to see.
Right.
Sporilla, you're not going to see. I know we're talking in like another language here. These are very harmful things, and you're going to want to know.
Vibrios,
yeah.
Which are common, depending on where you're getting your animal source or animal manure from, can be common. So that's those are your disease causing bacteria that you wanted to keep a lookout for.
Uh-oh, Texas boys weighed in, sharing life and truth. Listen to my interview with Matt Arrett. I think it's how you pronounce it. We discussed it. I haven't gotten to that one yet. Okay. I'm going to check it out. So folks, if you haven't checked it out, check out their podcast. William, what's the name of it again?
Fearless Podcast.
I don't know why I can't remember the podcast.
Quit being scared, Dad. It's Fearless.
No, I listen to it, and you know, whenever I'm able, and I'm like, I don't know why. It's just because I let this stuff just play through, and I never really look at the podcast name.
Kentucky Sustainable Living's in too.
Oh, bam! Yeah, so go check that one out, y'all. Just like we talked about earlier, they're going to be doing a fundraiser up there. You're going to want to go check that. Look, I'm going to be at both the Mountain Readiness Festival. You're going to have a lot of awesome people there. Kentucky Sustainable Living. Those are some really awesome people up there too. Folks, this is the time, not just in this chat, this is the time you want to start making these relationships. Not only are you going to learn some really cool stuff in a lot of the classes there, but the most valuable thing to a lot of these is going to be the connections you make. You're going to go there. I guarantee it, every single time you go to something like this, you're going to go there and then meet a person that's probably within an hour from you.
Oh, yeah.
Single time.
Real quick, Earthling Drew just said his does go up to 400x and he was looking at amoebas. That's awesome.
Really?
Okay. The real test is going to be if you can see actinobacteria. If you can like recognize and it'll focus down to a pencil line for your actinobacteria, then that EM1 seems to be the cat's meow.
I want
to
check this thing out. This EM microscope. Yeah.
How much was it?
Well, yeah.
EM1 1000.
Oh man. See, okay. Texas boys, we're going to have to team up with them and do a live like this. We kind of upgraded our service to be able to not have so many glitchy things. And believe me, that ain't cheap, y'all. So we do this as a labor of love. I mean, it's not like we make any money on this sort of thing, at least not much. And we're definitely not going to get the nod based on some of the stuff we talk about. And certainly what the Texas boys talk about too. He said the hidden hand behind UFOs.
That's what his episode was about, not the EM1 microscope.
No, that's not what I was thinking. I thought he was going to talk about like the Plymouth Brethren and some of this other stuff there. But there is a reason why I take the stance I do in a lot of this stuff. There has been nothing that's been more effective, in my view, in making the American Christian population to acquiesce in light of all these horrors going on in the world right now than having the trivium moved from the one-room schoolhouse. And, you know, we can easily be hoodwinked when you don't have this mental antivirus, which I think I talked about it last episode. And like I said, when they've also made everybody acquiesce with some of the Christian philosophies out there that didn't exist in the early church, in my judgment. So, I think those have been effective for the powers that shouldn't be in the most awful way.
Give them just like a result of what was introduced into the church.
No, I'm going to
make what was one of the results?
I'm not going to give it away like that. I could do it,
okay.
But I think you should search out this matter. I think you should search it out. I can give you all this stuff and then I provide it. I want you to go out there, like I told you a little bit ago, talking about John Taylor Gatto and the ultimate history lesson. I can give you the cliff notes on that, but we have more, look, at our fingertips right now, y'all. You can find out more than all 10 libraries of Alexandria right there at your fingertips with one of those bugging devices that we call cell phones.
And we're going to get called out for both having stock photos on the background.
Yeah. Well, I mean, whatever the case may be, you know, we have incredible. I'm not saying this to be a jerk, y'all. I can sit here and give you the answers, but it won't do you any good. Go and search that matter out. It's one thing for me to sit here and drop it. Yeah, I can do that from the top of my head. I can tell you all the reasons why. But I've been reluctant to do it, not because I'm afraid of the backlash, not because I'm afraid of... Look, if I was so afraid of subscribers, I would not have told you before... I would not have stated in the last several podcasts exactly my thoughts on what's going on in the Middle East and who the real culprits are. Nobody's going to make me believe. And in fact, it's starting to come out right now. It came out today on the Hagman & Hagman program. All these insiders that are over there in Israel right now are saying that this attack is an impossibility unless somebody let it happen. There's no way it could have gone down this way. No way that they would have been unmolested. And I'm talking about the people that did it for hours on end without a quick reaction force being there. There's no way you would have driven tractors across without it being intercepted and known. There's no way. The Hannitys can continue to lie to you. Just because they got a bigger platform doesn't mean they have ethics. The Dan Bongino's out there can keep on lying to you, and I would tell him right to his face. And Hannity, I would tell him to his face. When you see CNN and MSNBC and all the others in complete lockstep with one another, just like they were after 9/11, you know something. You got to smell a rat. And they're all rats. They're filthy rats because people like Bongino, who worked in the security sector, ought to know better. And so he's a complete sold-out puppet, Operation Mockingbird scum, just like all the rest. Sorry to go so dark here, y'all. But when I see these profligate prostitutes and liars out there talking about things that they know better, there is no way that thing went down the way they said. And look at what's happening right now. It's a manufactured lie from start to finish. I can prove it for anybody that cares to debate me on it. So is there anybody out there that wants to debate?
Nope. Rachel Brown says, slap that like button like it owes you money.
Bam! That's what I'm talking about, Rachel. What's the... Oh, Kentucky Sustainable Living. I'm going to have you and Aaron T. Scott sit down with me next weekend and talk about all this. Huh. You know, Aaron T. Scott, y'all, if you don't know who she is, you'll be glad you did because... she's a walking encyclopedia on a lot of this stuff. I haven't even talked to her about it, but I'll put it this way. And you can ask Jason over at Kentucky Sustainable Living. If I'm lying, I don't care where you are. You get on the phone with her, you will be disconnected 20 times in 20 minutes.
Yep.
It is crazy what they do to her. And she's dropping some serious, I can't wait to actually meet her in person. She's dropping some serious stuff over there on, through her podcast out the window. Not her podcast, but her YouTube channel. Hey, y'all, thanks everybody for being in here tonight. I'm sorry we couldn't get to all of you, but in our inaugural visit or program of doing the Pimpcast Live Hope you enjoyed it. Tell everybody else out there. Believe me, y'all, nobody in the powers that should be, that shouldn't be, is going to tell you what we're doing here. Nobody's ever going to tell you that we're going live. Nobody's ever going to tell you that we got a podcast. But go out there, leave us a review in anywhere you're listening to this. And until next time, y'all, stay alert.
Stay alive. They don't want the individual just to call the cop. You stay in that man a cop. Yeah, I'm talking saucy. All they want to build is a prison world full of pet Tamagotchis. The kamikaze got me out of body like I'm Goku SS3. They want to push me to the center like a cell. They want to spin up at the center of the next is me. They want me to battle. I'm a warrior.